Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And he loves you.
Wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that where he is, we may be also. And so we thank God today for allowing us to be able to get back together one more time or one more Sunday in the year of our Lord 2020. We just give God the glory, we give him the honor, we give him the praise, and we've come together to lift up the name of Jesus. As he who declared, and I be lifted up from the earth, then he would draw all men unto himself. And so we thank God today that we can feel his spirit, we can feel his presence, and we can lift up the name of Jesus, and we can give God the honor, the glory, and the praise, because truly God is worthy of all our praise. We're going to open up this morning with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Minister Jameson will lead us in our opening prayer this morning. Good morning, Minister Jameson.
A bless. Let us pray. Most gracious and everlasting God, our Father, it's once again you allow some of your people to come together to lift up your holy name. You said, if I be lifted up from the earth, you draw all men unto thee. We thank you for the women drawing power too. Father, we thank you for being so good, so kind, so yes, so understanding. It's not about us, but it's all about you. From the rising of the S-O-N until the going down of the S-U-N, good God Almighty, thank you that you are so worthy to be praised, because it could have been the other way, but you kept us, you guided us, you led us, you protect us, Father, to see a brand new day that we never seen before and sure enough won't see again. But this day that you have made, good God Almighty from Zion, we will right now, whatever state we in, that we will rejoice right now, Father. If we up, if we down, if we almost turn level to the ground, hallelujah, glory to your holy and most righteous name. Father, we ask you this day, Father, that you have blessed us among all blessings, Father God, that we won't take it for granted. We ask you, Father, to bless the pastor. Bless the pastor and the family and all the church members under the sound of this voice that you have given us. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one, Father, who's been through, who's gone through, and has come out, Father. And we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you bless us and keep us only as you can. Lead, guide, and protect not only the Heart of God Baptist Church, but every church, Father, that is doing your will, your work, and your way, Father, because there is a church out there, Father, that is leading and depending on you right now. Father, we know, Father God, that you brought us this far. You said that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You've never seen the righteous forsaken. Lord, we know from rocking up into our cradle, up into this present time, Lord, we were young and now we old. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the generation that are learning, Father, that we are trying to teach them, Father, that don't take you for granted. And Father, we know, Father, if they keep their hands in your hands, that everything will be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And we thank you. We praise you. We lift you up. We magnify you. Oh, Father, the more we talk about you, the better we feel. But, Lord, we know we got to let it go, but we're not finished. But, Lord, we thank you. We thank you with the tongues of praise. And sometimes we say we had more than one tongue, but with the tongue right now, we're going to thank you. We ain't going to worry about the 10,000, but with the one tongue that you have given us this day, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, in Jesus' name, thank you. Oh, we're not going to turn you loose until you're blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, God, thank you. And you look back, oh, well, I thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' and only name. Man might be say, thank you, Lord. Thank you again. We won't take you for granted. Even those that have gone through, Father, we thank you in Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. 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 Thank you in Jesus. Thank you. Can't turn you, but thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and praise God.
Amen, and praise God. Thank Minister Jameson for that fervent prayer. Thanking God, truly God is worthy to be thanked, and we just continue to thank him for all the good things and all the blessings that he has brought us through. Truly God has been awesome, and we thank him that he is an awesome God. Songwriter said he can do anything but fail, and we know that God is the one that has kept us down through the years. And down through the years, God has been good to us, and so we say thank you for all his manifold blessings toward us. Amen. And we just need to realize that we got to continue to trust God to provide all of our needs. The record said that he's able to provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. And so God hasn't run out, and he's not going to run out. And so we know that he can still supply all of our needs. Songwriter wrote a song called I Need Thee. It's been sung down through the years, and it's simply a song of meditation where the believer in God recognizes that they need God every hour. And it's a song and a hymnal, number 229, and it says, I need thee every hour. And when we recognize that we need God every hour, that means we need him 24/7. And if you know, like I know, amen, that God is someone that you can rely on 24/7. In other words, when I'm not there, or when you're not there, or when the husband or the wife or the children or someone in hospital or someone supposed to be here, supposed to be there, that you can't find them, they're not around, or they're not able to help you, you know, you can depend and you can lean on God. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we just have to realize that we need him every hour. And so the songwriter says, and this is number 229 in our hymnal, it says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can cease afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. And so in your best joyful noise, we just want you to sing that with us, and let's sing it to the glory of God. And our hearts will rejoice to understand that all of our needs have been provided by God. And so we just have to realize that hour by hour, day by day, week by week, God has been good. I said, God has been good, church. He has blessed us, and he's provided all of our needs. So let us sing together. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let us sing that again. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. One more time. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Thank God. We can call on him late in the midnight hour. We can call on him when we're feeling low, or when we're feeling down, or when we're feeling distressed or feeling depressed. We can call on the Lord and know that he will supply all of our needs. We just have to continue to ask the Lord for his continued companionship, his continuous grace, his continual mercy, his continual lead, guiding, directing us. We thank God for how he just continues to bless us over and over and over again. And so that's why we sing the song, I Need Thee, Lord, I Need Thee. We're going to go to our worshiper this morning. I hear your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our first worshiper, last four digits, 4847. 4847, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Mom Gwen. Good morning, everybody. I'm singing and shouting real loud this morning because, as Pastor and First Lady knows, I turned 80 years old on Veterans Day. I'm alive. I'm kicking. I may have a pain here and a pain there, but God has kept me. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm so excited I can't stand myself. 80 years old. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody know how much I love you for the prayers that you send for me. Even when I'm just feeling real low, and then when I'm really having a hard time, I thank God for you every day. You're my family. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Pastor, God's going to keep on keeping you amazing. Thank you so much for being my pastor.
Bless you. Happy birthday. We're going to go to our next worshiper. The last four digits, 3343. Good morning.
Yes, Lord. Good morning. Thank God for giving us this second chance to stay on the right track and follow his glory and and chase his holy name. For he's our Father, and we need him, and we need his children. He gave us another second chance to stay on the right line and follow his name. And it bless his heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our next worshipers, last four digits, 7971. 7971, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor, First Lady. Happy birthday, Mama Gwen. I'm right behind you. God bless you. It's a pleasure this morning to be up and going. It's been a rough week, but God sustained us all. And it's a blessing for us as a family, Pastor, when you can wake up and hear your nephew in Atlanta singing every praise to my God and praise the Lord with him and tune into you as my other son and rejoice in the Lord with you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you that we have a church that we can turn to and a pastor that loves us, and we love you dearly. God is good. Hope you're feeling better, and hope you have a better day. I know you'll have a better day. Sound better, and we have so much to be grateful for. I know our parents and grandparents are rejoicing in heaven this morning because we're all on the same page, worshiping and praising our Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, and God bless you all, and have a blessed week.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God, everyone. Good morning, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
Love and kisses after you all. Happy birthday, Mother Gwen. And I just want to thank God for allowing me to see such a beautiful day. I thank him for allowing me to be able to speak to people that I know that they love the Lord, they love and have a caring, and they have a blessed feeling and spirit. It lifts me up so much every Sunday to be able to speak with you all and hear your voices and your praises. So I will continue to thank him for supplying my needs. And in the name of Jesus, you all be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We thank God for our callers and our worshipers. We're going to go to our next worshiper, the last four digits. 1741. Good morning.
Good morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to hear you, your voice one more time, Pastor. So glad to know that you are feeling better. And praise God for you and First Lady. Mama Gwen, happy birthday to you. And glad that God bless you to see another one. And Trustee Randolph, praise God that you are feeling better, and he's bringing you closer and closer, more in your healing and in your strength, and for all those that have been sick and shut in. I thank God for Jesus this morning, that just mighty, mighty. I praise God this morning for just being an awesome God. Thank God for my family and for my church family. And I'd just like to share with you all this morning a few verses from Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works, and I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. We praise God because we serve an awesome God. Thank you. God bless you all, and I love you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. To our next worshiper. Last four digits, 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. I've got so much to thank the Lord for because God has truly, truly been good to me. God never ceases to amaze me, and I'm just in awe of God at all times. I want to thank God this morning for my pastor and for my First Lady, First Lady Kayson, and the Heart of God Baptist Church family. I want to just thank God for my family this morning and thank God for how good he has been to my family and how good he has been to me. I want to thank God for being my pillar of strength. I want to thank him for being my protector and my protection. I want to thank God for his healing powers. And I want to thank God this morning for just giving me the strength, the stamina, and the perseverance to continue to stand strong in him, because it is in him that I live and I move and I have my very being. And so God is worthy to be praised. So I give him glory, I give him honor, and I give him praise on this day. And I just thank God for his loving kindness and his faithfulness to me and to my family, to my church family. For faithful is our God. And I just thank God this morning, because without God, I could do nothing. And I just thank God that he just holds me and just shields me and just cuddles me in his arms of love and protection. And I just give him glory, honor, and praise this morning. Happy birthday, Mother. And I just thank God. And have a blessed day to everyone, and stay safe.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We'll go to our First Lady this morning. Good morning, First Lady.
Good morning, everyone. Give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All of us assembled here today. It is great to hear everyone's voice. It is a blessing to be in the land of the living. As they say, every day above ground is a good day. Thank the Lord. Happy birthday to Mama Gwen. Happy birthday to Sister Lee. And may the Lord bless you all with many more birthdays. Every day is your birthday. Every day is a new day. So every day is our birthday. And we just thank the Lord for all he's doing for Heart of God and what he can continue to do. And we just have to pray for the folks that are out here struggling now. You know, things will get better, and that during this season right now, that we need to make sure we stay safe and keep our families safe. And I'm praying that everyone stays in good health and you're able to do what you need to do for your family and for yourself. I love you very much. Hold on.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to say it's good to hear everybody's voice, and that I'm just glad that we are able to listen to each other every Sunday and listen to the Word of God. And I just pray that everybody continues to be safe, and that they continue to keep everybody lifted up in prayer, and just know that it's not our timing, it's God's timing, and everything's going to work out.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 3598. 3598. Good morning.
God bless. It's so good to hear everyone's voice. And Mama Gwen, Good God Almighty, that's a milestone. Psalms 37 and 25. I got to get my eyes straightened out. So much water coming through my eyes, and God is good, because it could have been the other way. But when you know how God have kept you and guide you and lead you, and it says in Psalms, trying to get my eyes together, let me wipe them, because God is good, y'all. You just don't know. We take them for granted. But it says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendant begging bread. And his song said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Camel soup, you've been so good. to thank you, Lord. We even got Thanksgiving coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're singing to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank, we talking to Jesus, I just want to thank whatever's going on, I just want to thank, can't let him go, but I just want to thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our next worshiper, our last four digits, 4629. Morning.
Morning, everybody. It's good to hear. Everybody's doing well. Happy birthday to Mama Gwen. Just like to thank God for everything that he's doing, keeping us in good health in these times. It's good to hear all the family, because that's where we are. And I like to just pray that he continues to do what he wants, do what he needs to in our lives, and pray that everybody just continues to do well, and that's it.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go to our next worshiper, last four digits, 7351. Morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kason and Heart of God Church. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us this far. We are now facing what they call a second surge of the virus. And I just pray, Lord, that we just keep an overflow of hope and know that the Lord is still going to watch out for us and look out for us still, Lord. And I pray that everybody just keep your mask on, social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and let's just do as they think that we should do, and pray that we'll be here next Sunday. To God be all the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 2256. 2256. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank God for another day. Thank you, for my pastor, and I'm glad you're doing better. It's good to hear everybody's voice again. Happy birthday, Mama Gwen. God is good, and he just continues to keep us no matter what. So I'm going to continue to trust in him regardless what goes on around me. You know, sometimes we look at the circumstances and not our God. We got to continue to look at our God and not the circumstances, because he can change the circumstances around us whenever he chooses to. So sometimes he just wants us to know that it's him that's in charge and not us, you know, and to stop looking at the things that's going on in front of us or around us. Because he's bigger than that. He's a big God, you know. And we can trust him with to trust God. Continue to believe that he is the one that's going to deliver us from all of this that's going on around us. You know, God is like I said, is a big God. And COVID is not too big for God. So just keep trusting him. He'll bring you through, you know. We just got to keep holding on to his hand. His hand. That's important, you know. If he can deliver us from our small illnesses, you know, even though sometimes they be big, you know, but to him they're small. If he can deliver us from that, and as big as COVID is, and yes, it's running rampant through the land, but our God is still bigger. He's a big God. So we just got to give him everything. And just trust him, you know. Sometimes he wants to know how much we trust him. So just give all of that over to God. As we approach what we call Thanksgiving, just I know this is a special time for us, but remember, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every
right.
day that we get up above land is a day of Thanksgiving. And God has given us another day to do something with it, you know, do something constructive. And I'm waiting in great expectation of what he's going to do. So trust him. Know that he loves us and he got us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. As we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask that Reverend Sykes would get ready to lead us in prayer. I thank God for her on Sunday before last. I was able to preach, and I thank God for Reverend Lindsay on last Sunday. I was able to preach and to deliver the word, and we thank God for the word that was delivered. And we just want to remember everybody in prayer. Thank God for all the things that he's continuing to do in all of our lives. Thank God for all you that are on the line, that are Facebook, on the internet. Know that God loves you, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God for how he's just continued to keep our church. He's continued to keep his hedge of protection around us. And so we don't want to take it for granted, but we just want to continue to give him thanks and give him praise and honor and glory to realize that God is the one that continues to watch over us and continues to guide us. So I'm going to ask Reverend Sykes to get ready to lead us in prayer. Remember our president, President Donald Trump and his cabinet, and remember President-elect Joseph Biden and those that he is going to choose to lead our government in the year 2021, in the year of our Lord 2021. Pray for a smooth transition. Pray for those who voted for the winner, those who voted for the loser. Pray for God's guidance on everyone that is involved, that his will be done, and that he would be recognized, that he will be honored in this period of our lives. Continue to bless all of our family and friends near and far, that we too would continue to pray one for another, and that we would wait on the Lord and know that God is not slack concerning his word, and everything that he's promised, God will do what he said he would do. So I'm going to ask Reverend Sykes to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we gather this morning with grateful hearts. Father, we come acknowledging that you are God, the creator and the sustainer of life. Father, we thank you for another day that you've allowed our eyes to open. We thank you, Father, for keeping our minds strong, Father God, for keeping our bodies strong, for keeping our spirits strong. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your faithfulness. We will bless your name at all times and praise you with the fruit of our lips, Father. Thank you for your hand of grace, your hand of mercy, and your hand of protection. We come seeking more of your divine wisdom and revelation knowledge of your word and more of a spirit of discernment from you, Father God. You are the great I am, and we love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And so, Father, we realize and know that we cannot do anything without you. So we come, Father God, this morning, Father, bringing our petitions to the foot of your altar, Father. We lift up mankind everywhere this morning, Father. President Donald Trump and Vice President Pence this morning and their cabinet. Oh, God, we lift up President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris this morning. Father God, we pray, Father God, this morning, Father God, for those that are in leadership, Father God. We pray, Father God, that the transition will be a good transition, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you would touch the hearts of mankind this morning, and Father God. And Father, we lift up this world, Father God, and every city and state, Father God. We lift up all of our pastors, and we lift up all of the servant leaders. We lift up all of our churches, Father God. We lift up Pastor Kayson, First Lady Kayson, and the Heart of God Baptist Church family this morning. And Father God, we lift up all of our families and all of our extended family members, all of our communities, Father God, those that are in the various hospitals, God, we lift them up to you this morning. And those, Father God, that are in nursing facilities, Father, all of our senior citizens this morning, Father, we lift them up to you. And those that are recovering at home, Father, we lift up this pandemic crisis to you continuously, Father God. We're praying for those, Father, who are struggling emotionally and financially and physically and spiritually, Father. And, Father God, we pray, Father God, and we pray for your healing virtues, Father God, to flow, Father God, throughout the universe, Father God. And, Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for your word this morning, because your word is truth, power, and strength. And we thank you for your anointing, because your anointing, it destroys every yoke, God. And so, Father, we pray this morning continuously for Deacon Fran Aqua and all of those who have had or will have surgery, Father God. We pray for our youth and our children, Father God. We pray, Father God, for those that are unsaved this morning, Father God. Oh, God, we just pray, Father God, that you will continue to strengthen us, Father God, as only you can, Father God. Give us the strength, the stamina, and the perseverance to continue to stand strong in you, Father God. We are leaning and we are depending on you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for your keeping power. There is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for God. And so, God, we thank you, Father God, for being a prayer-answering God on today. And, yes, Father, we know that these are difficult and troubled and uncertain times that we are faced with right now. But we have the faith and the blessed assurance that everything will be all right. We will continue to hold on to your unchanging hand and wait patiently for you. For in due season, a change will come. And so, Father, we just gather this morning just to say thank you. We gather this morning just to say hallelujah. We gather this morning to say praises be to you, Almighty God, because truly you are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the honor, and you are worthy, oh God, you are worthy, 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 God, of all the praise. And so, Father, we say thank you. We say hallelujah to your name this morning. We say we're going to continue, Father God, to just trust you, Father. We're going to trust you. We're going to continue to lean and depend on you, Father God. We're going to continue, Father God, to fight this good fight, fight of faith, Father God, and to hold on, Father God, and hold on to your unchanging hand. We will never let go of God's unchanging hand, because God is good and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And we thank him and we bless his name on today. For he is, and he alone is worthy. And so, God, we say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we praise and bless your name this morning. And we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our mighty God, our mighty Savior, this morning. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, and thank God. We are grateful today for a fervent prayer, Reverend Sykes. Truly, there's nothing like going to the Lord in prayer and realizing that God is a prayer-answering God. And like she said, there's nothing too big for God. We know that. Deacon Bryce said there's nothing too big for God, and we know that all of you have been leaning and depending on the Lord. And so we say thank you for all your continued walk by faith, continued praise for the church, church family, for me and my family, unmovableness, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so we want to turn to the word this morning. We want to go to the New Testament, the New Testament book of First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, and we want to look at the fifth chapter of the book of First Thessalonians. And in that first chapter, in that fifth chapter of the book of First Thessalonians, the writer Paul is writing to a relatively young church, and he is concerned that they would be able to remain faithful in the midst of the trials, the tribulations, the situations and circumstances, and the persecution that was going on in the church at that time. And so he wrote the letter to the Thessalonians, thanking them for their steadfastness. He had received word from his son in the ministry, Timothy, that in spite of the situations and the circumstances, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the trials and the tribulations that the church was going through at that time, the church was remaining steadfast, that they were continuing to demonstrate a faith in God, and they were continuing to spread the word or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that made Paul's heart glad when Pastor Paul received this information from his son Timothy. And so that's why he penned the letter of Thessalonians to recognize that they were remaining. And in that fifth chapter, he gives them some instructions, instructions that are not only relevant for the church of Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, but it's also relevant for Heart of God Church, our church today. And in that fifth chapter, he lets them know that in spite of the difficult times that they are going through, that the church had a role to play to encourage each other, to encourage each member to continue to behave in a manner that's pleasing to God. And we want to start with verse 1, and we just want to go down through verse 1, and we want to get to, if we can, verse 19. And the reason we want to go through this is because the situations and the circumstances that we're living in, we are living in a time where it is easy to get distracted by the situations and the circumstance and lose our focus on God. And so we need to make sure that we understand that God has already let us know that there was going to be some difficult days in our lives. Book of Revelations let us know that it's not always going to be hunky-dory and peaches and cream and, you know, skip to Lou, my darling. But there's going to be some difficult days in the life of the church, in the life of this world. And for us to realize that this world is not our home, but in the midst of our going through, we still can rely on God. We still can lean and depend on God. We still can have joy in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. We still can encourage and love on each other, that in spite of what the situation or the circumstance is, God is in control, and that we can lean and depend on him, and that we can rely on him to help us to make it through. We can rely on him to provide all of our needs, and we can rely on him that in spite of what might be going on, that he will bring us through. And so as he writes at the end of this letter, as he had founded the church and he established the church on his missionary journey, and has he received good word back from his son in the ministry, Timothy, that the church was doing well, giving them instructions because there were those that were thinking that God was going to show up right away, and they didn't think that they would have to live through difficult times, that he was coming back, and they were thinking that he was going to come back right away, and then they started seeing people die, and they started seeing people persecuted and dying from their faith. And so anytime you see a great number of people die, a great number of people being persecuted for their faith, for trying to do the right thing, and you start seeing people that know better and should do the right thing, not doing the right thing. And so when you have these difficult days of people that should be doing right, not doing right, people that are dying for whatever reason, whether it's from being sickness, whether it's from being in a situation where you're persecuted, it's a lot to take in. And so Pastor Paul was letting the church know that he understands that there's a lot to take in. In Heart of God Church, I want you to understand that I love you, and I understand that it's not an easy time. And I just want to thank you and congratulate you for being in the midst of these trying times. And it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to process. It's a lot to be able to try to get through from hour to hour, from day to day, from week to week. And so I commend you on your faith. I commend you on your steadfastness. I commend you on your prayers. I commend you on your being able to take it day by day and continue to press on to the next day. And so as Paul writes, and he understands that the church is looking for Jesus to come back, and they're waiting on Jesus, and people are dying, and situations are getting dire, and people that should be doing right aren't doing right, and yet they're still holding on to their faith. Paul wrote to them to let them know what was going on, and that God was in control. And so if you look at verse 1 of chapter 5, he talks about the day of the Lord, because they were seriously concerned that God, why are people, so many people dying? Why are so many people succumbing to this world? Why haven't you come back? And Paul wrote to assure them that God understood those that were dying. And many of us have had loved ones promoted to glory. Many of us know people who have suffered through COVID, who have passed on. We understand that loved ones have come and gone off, and we no longer can see them. And many times during this pandemic, we weren't able to go and to visit them in hospitals or nursing homes or in their homes and attend funerals and all kinds of things that we normally do. We understand that in the midst of this global pandemic, when people usually are planning for the holidays and where they're going to have Thanksgiving and who's coming and what's going to be on the menu, and people in the malls going through stores or on the internet buying stuff for loved ones for Christmas and looking forward to these holidays, that it's a lot to take in, that we can't get to those people. We can't do the things that we would normally do. And people are dying around us, and yet people that should be doing right aren't doing right. And so we just want you to know this morning that God understands, and God is there, and God will see us through. And so Paul, in that first verse, he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you." And what Paul is saying is that he's recognizing that even in these times and these seasons, that the church has been steadfast, that the church has continued to thrive, that the church has continued to spread the gospel. And so it goes on in verse 2, he says, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so what Paul is telling them to continue to remain steadfast. Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour. But we know God. And we know what God would have us to do. God would have us to continue to be the church that's like a city that's set up on the hill, that we will continue to shine light in darkness for those that don't know God, for those that don't know him in the free pardoning of our sin, of their sin. And so for us to continue to remain steadfast. It goes on to verse 3, says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. And so, in other words, what God is saying, that those that don't believe in God, those that are continuing to do evil, those that are continuing to walk in the shadows of darkness, those that are continue to be wickedness in high places, those that are continuing to perpetrate perpetrate a fraud, those that are continuing to downgrade and disregard God and God's order, He wants us to know that they are not always going to be in charge. They're not always going to be in power. They're not always going to have the upper hand. But when the day of the Lord comes, when God comes, that they will be struck like a thief in the night. That they will experience judgment, and they shall not escape. And so God wants us to know as a church that we're not in darkness, and this won't take us by surprise. And none of this stuff that's going on should take us by surprise, but we should continue to be steadfast, continue to hold up the bloodstained banner, continue to tell people that for God I'll live and for God I'll die, to continue to tell people that God is the only way, and that we should continue to be like the city that's set up on the hill. When you look at verse 5, he says, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. In other words, we have to know our role, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of wickedness. We have to know that we are the children of God. We are the children of light, that we're not the children of darkness. And we have a testimony, and we have a light that shines in us, that we can show the world, amen, a better way, that we can show the world that we don't have to live in darkness. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in hopeless. We don't have to live in degradation. We don't have to live in heat. We don't have to live in a way that's not pleasing to God. In verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, what God is saying to us is that we need to continue to be vigilant. I know people are tired. I know people have COVID fatigue, as they say. I know people are desiring to be with each other. We're desiring to fellowship and come to the church, and they're desiring to go out to dinner and go to the park, and desiring not to have put on masks and social distance and all these things. And God knows that people are, and we're tired, and we're frustrated since March, that people that should have done right haven't done right, and people that are in darkness seem like that they are winning, and it seems like they don't care, and they just want to have chaos and ruin the world, except for those that are like them. He understands that, and God says you got to be sober and you got to watch and understand that God heard our prayer back in March when we said in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. I want you to know this morning, church, that the healing is on the way. God heard your prayer. God recognized your humbleness. God recognized your turning from your wicked ways. But that doesn't negate the fact that wickedness is still with us. But in the end, we're going to be able to overcome, but we have to remain steadfast. We have to remain unmovable. We have to remain abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We can't get too close, so close to the victory and give up and stop doing the things that are necessary for us to remain faithful, remain vigilant, remain sober, remain awake until God has the final say-so. I know it's a long struggle. I know it's a long battle. I know there's tears that have been cried. I know there's hearts have been heavy. I know there's the loss of community and fellowship that we all long for, but we have to continue to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, because God is working it out for our good. So if you go on, and he says in verse 7, he says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And so God says we have to continue to be sober. We have to continue to walk in faith. We have to continue to demonstrate love. And we have to continue to demonstrate hope in the midst of this world, because we are the ones that the world are seeing. They don't see anybody else. If your neighbor sees you operating in hope and faith and love, then he can see that there's a different way. If your neighbor or the person on your job seeing you operate in faith and love and hope, then they can understand that there's a better way. They can turn from their wicked ways. And so during this time, God is using the trials, the tribulation, the persecution for this church to be a light that shines in darkness, that those that are lost can see us in our hope, in our love, and in our faith, in our love and kindness toward one another, that they would understand that they don't have to go the way of darkness. They don't have to go the way of destruction. They don't have to go down the path that they can't come back from, that they can understand that they too can turn to God and say, I yield, what must I do to be saved? And so in verse 9, he says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but unto obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even so also ye do. And in other words, God is saying that we need to continue to bind together. We need to continue to love each other. We need to continue to encourage each other. We can need to continue to let each other know that God is still in control and that God is worth waiting for and that God is the one that has brought us this far and that he hasn't brought us this far to leave us. In verse 11, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. In other words, continue to lift up those that are in leadership, those that are trying to labor for you, whether you're young or whether you're old. There's always someone that's trying to impart wisdom to you, that's trying to impart knowledge to you, that have been down this road before, that has experience in going through. He says, continue to be mindful of them, esteem them highly, and thank God for those that have the wisdom of the old school, those that might be able to tell us that, honey, it might look good right now, but that's not good for you, or brother, this is it might seem temptation right now, but it's not good for you. Those that are in leadership, your deacons, your ministers, those that are praying day by day, that are telling and talking to God, continue to pray and tell and talk to God on their behalf also, that they might be able to get through these difficult times. And then in verse 14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and listen to the one that is so difficult for us. While we're going through in the last part of verse 14, he says, be patient toward all men. Somebody looked at me and said, you mean toward that guy? To be toward that woman? Toward that person? God's word says that we should be patient toward all men. In other words, God doesn't want us to fly off the handle. God doesn't want us to do evil for evil. God wants us to be living with faith, with hope, living with the ability to be able to stand up and say, it might be tough, but we have a tough God. It might be difficult, but we have a God that there's nothing too difficult for him. When we understand that God is expecting us to set an example, not to be unruly, not to be in a situation where we're not looking after those that are feeble-minded. And he said, Lord, have mercy, feeble-minded. Feeble-minded are folks that you would think are have the right mind, but ain't doing, I'm going to say ain't, but ain't doing what a right-minded person should be doing. God says that we should comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. People that are walking in darkness, people that are doing things that they know is wrong and they're continuing to do it, the weak, the people that are not following God, there's something that is not strong in them. There's something that is unsure in them. And God says we have to continue to set an example for them. And when we set an example for them, we have to be patient and wait for them, amen, to see the light of God and turn from their wicked way. And somebody said, Pastor, I'm tired of these folks. I don't want to be patient with them anymore because they're causing pains in my behind. They're causing chaos. They're causing disruption. They're not doing what is right in your sight. And God says, still be faithful, be steadfast, still walk in hope, still walk in your salvation. And he says, be patient toward all men. We just need to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Folks that know that it's better to wash your hands and wear gloves and wear masks, but they still won't do it. God says, be patient with them. Set an example. And I know you're tired of it, and I know you want to throw something, and I know you want to cuss something, and I know you want to get to a point where you're just tired and you don't want to go on and deal with these things anymore and these people anymore. But God is sending a message to us that it's almost over. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Continue to be steadfast. Continue to be unmovable. Continue abound in the work of the Lord because your labor is not in vain. So continue to comfort the feeble mind and continue to support the weak and continue to be patient toward all men and put down your get back. In verse 15, he says, see that none render, somebody need to say, help me, Lord. See that none render evil for evil unto who? Any man. Somebody say, I'm not feeling it, God, I'm not feeling it. But God says, see that none render evil for evil unto who? Any man. Somebody say, help me, Lord. And so God says, but ever follow that, this is the second part of that verse, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Somebody say, I got to put my big boy and big girl underwear on, my big boy and big girl underwear of faith on, to not fall into my feeling, to not fall into my get back mode, to not get sick and tired and lash out and behave in a manner that's not pleasing to God. We have to understand, amen, that God gets the glory from us behaving like he would behave, behaving like he would act. It was Jesus on the cross of Calvary that when they spat on him, that when they put a crown of thorn on his head, when they nailed his hands to a cross, when they nailed his feet to the cross, when they called him everything but a child of God, when they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall, when they beat him beyond recognition, it was Jesus who had every right to get back. It was Jesus who had every right to render evil for evil because he had never done anything evil in his life. It was Jesus who had every right to utterly destroy him and come down off the cross and be finished with him. But Jesus looked past their fault, somebody need to say glory, and saw their need. And it was Jesus on the cross that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was Jesus that understood that they were feeble-minded, that they were weak, that they were living in darkness, that they were following after darkness and the rulers of darkness of this world. They were following after evil. They were following after the father of all lies. They were following after Satan, and Jesus knew that they needed salvation. He knew that they needed to be able to see light, that he needed to be able to turn to God, to be able to repent from their evil ways and come running, I yield, I yield. What must I do to be saved? It was Jesus on Calvary's cross that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So God, in this moment of pandemic, in this moment of political and religious unrest, is leaning and depending on the church not to render evil for evil unto any man, but to be patient toward all men. And you say, well, God, this stuff is just hard to do because I don't like them. I don't like what they're doing. I'm sick and tired of them. God says, well, I got a remedy for you to help you to make it through. I got something that you can do until I finish my work. And you go down to verse 16, 17, and 18. we can see that God has given us the formula to be able to make it through. And I thank God that I knew him for myself, and I was able to try these things for myself. And so in verse 16, he says, rejoice evermore. In other words, what God is saying, in order for you to be able to wait on him and deal with these folks that are in the midst of this situation and this circumstance and this trial and this tribulation and this persecution, in order for you to continue to act like God, God says, what I want you to learn how to do is to rejoice evermore. In other words, what God is letting us know that we have the ability to be able to rejoice in the midst of the trial, to be able to rejoice in the midst of the storm, to be able to rejoice in the midst of the tribulation. And you say, well, how can I rejoice, Pastor Paul, Pastor Kason? How can I rejoice? What God wants you to do is look back over your life. Come on now. And see where God has brought you from. We have some folk on the line that are 80 years old, and some that are close to 80, and some that are older than 80, and they're still rejoicing in the God of their salvation because they realize that God had brought them from a mighty long way. Have I got a witness today? You say, but I'm tired of these folks that are in position, and I'm tired of these folks that are making it difficult, and I'm tired of these folks that are doing wrong by our children and wrong by our communities, and I'm sick and tired of it, and I want to get on, get back. But God says, rejoice in the Lord. And then I say again, rejoice, because God is the one that has taken down every dictator. It is God is the one that has taken down every corrupt leader. It is God is the one that has taken down every false prophet. It is God is the one that has sustained his people from the beginning of time. It is God is the one that opened up so many Red Seas. It is God is the one that has opened up so many Jordan rivers. It is God is the one that has brought down every wall of Jericho. It is God is the one that has healed our bodies. It is God is the one when we were in the hospital with needles in our veins and tubes in our nose. It was God was the one that delivered us. And so because we can rejoice, what God is saying is to rejoice. In other words, to remember the joy of the time when he delivered like nobody else can deliver. Remember, it was God that kept you when nobody else could keep you. It was God that kept shoes on your feet, and God was the one that put clothes on your back, and God was the one that continued to put food on your table. And when you look back over your life and those four score years of 80 years old and those that are coming behind them, it was God was the one that continued to provide for you and bring you joy in the midst of the storm. It was God that caused you to cry when nothing was wrong. Somebody said, what's wrong with you? Why do you have tears in your eyes? What did they do to you? And you just tell them that it's nothing that nobody did to them, but it was God is the one that provided for me. God is the one that made a way for me. God is the one that healed my body. God is the one that keeps me in my right mind. And so I had joy then. And when I look back, the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. And so I can rejoice of what God has already done. And see, all of us have a rejoice moment in our spirit. And we can look back and realize that it was nobody but God that brought me through. It was nobody but God that made a way for me. It was nobody but God that kept me in my right mind. I can rejoice. And in other words, I can do it again. And I can realize that God is the one that blessed me. And so we need to move on to verse 17. And after we began to rejoice in verse 17, you say, God, these folks done got on my last nerve, but I'm still going to rejoice. And so God says, now, in the midst of your rejoicing, I still need you to pray. Yeah. We talked about 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God says that we need, good God Almighty, to humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways and pray. We need to understand that prayer is a powerful tool. I'm glad that we have some praying people in our church, and I'm glad we got some praying people in our families. And some of us had some praying great-grandparents, and some of us had some praying parents, and some of us had some praying people in our communities. And because of their prayer and because of their concern and because they continue to take us to the altar and continue to petition God on our behalf, that we're still here today. Somebody said my mama prayed when I didn't do right. Somebody said my grandmama prayed when I wouldn't act right. And somebody said they prayed when they knew that I wouldn't go on and wouldn't do the things that I needed to do. And they prayed, and God kept his hands of protection around me. God kept his hedge of protection around me. God didn't allow me to get so far because I had a praying grandmother, because I had a praying grandfather, that I had a praying mother and father, that I had folks around me who cared about me and loved me enough to be able to pray for me, even when I wouldn't pray for myself. And so God says you need to rejoice evermore. And in verse 17, he says you need to pray without ceasing. In other words, when you see the wicked and the evil around you, you need to pray. When you see folk not doing right, we need to pray. We don't need to put up our dukes and fight like Muhammad Ali, but we need to turn to God and say, God, our arms are too short to box with you, and so we're going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to pray in the morning. I'm going to pray in the noonday. I'm going to pray in the afternoon, because I know that prayer is a powerful tool. And if I keep praying to a God that answers prayer when it looks like it's impossible, God will come through. God will make a way. God will turn the situation around. And so Pastor Paul is encouraging them to rejoice and to keep praying. And then finally in verse 18, he wants you to understand that, yeah, it's tough time. And yeah, it's a difficult thing that you're going through right now. But I want you to be thankful for what I already did. Lord have mercy. Come on now. I want you to be thankful for what I already did. And so in verse 18, he says, in everything. Notice he didn't say for everything, but he said in everything. In other words, in your situation, you need to learn how to give thanks. Because God says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, God is leaning and depending on your testimony that you will continue to give him thanks even in the midst of your trial, even in the midst of your circumstance. God says, I want you to be thankful, and I want you to be thankful for what I've already done. And this week, my brothers and sisters, these 2 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, I want you to get out a journal on a regular basis, if you can't do it but once a week, and write down what you're thankful that God has already done. I want you to thank God for the mama that carried you for the months that she carried you. Somebody say, thank you, mama, for carrying me for all those months. Have I got a witness today? Somebody need to write down in the journal, thank you, God, for the daddy, for those who stood in as daddy for me all these years. And thank God that I might have a daddy, or I might not have a daddy that has been there, but I'm glad today that I got a daddy in heaven. Come on now. That looks about for me. And we need to thank God that every day my daddy, I'm talking about my heavenly father, looks out for me. We need to be thankful that some of us, good God Almighty, have been blessed to be able to eat good on every day. Come on now. And those that might not have been able to eat good on every day, and that you're still alive, so somewhere along the way, God still fed you. Have I got a witness today? So when you wake up on Monday morning and you think that things are not going well, just thank God that you're still able to have some food on the table. Thank God that you still have shelter in the time of the storm, that you still have the ability to put one foot in front of the other. We need to thank God. If you have children today, thank God for the children that God has blessed you with. If you have grandchildren today, Thank God for the grandchildren that God has blessed you with. If you still have a church home, thank God for the church home that you have today. It might not be the big church, but God, good God, a mighty heart of God has brought you from a mighty long way. I remember when you started in this basement that I am today. I remember when you went to Central High School. Thank God for Central High School. I remember when you went to 80 Ritchie Road. Come on now. I thank God that he blessed us from the basement to the high school to the office building. I'm thanking God today that God has blessed us to be able to continue to stand on his promises. And I thank God every day is a day of thanksgiving. And God wants us to be a thankful people and let people know that it might be rough night now, but God is the one that will bring you through. Have I got a witness today? That's why I still rejoice. That's why I still pray without ceasing. That's why I still give God the glory. And I thank God for everything that he's done. There was somebody that prayed for me. There was somebody that prayed for my wife. There was somebody that prayed for the church family. There was somebody that prayed for a job, and God gave them the job. There was somebody that prayed, good God Almighty, that they would be able to get healed, and God healed their body. I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give God thanks. Somebody said, thank you, God, that you brought me from a mighty long way. Thank you, God, that you kept me in the midst of the situation and the circumstances. Thank you, God, when they called me everything but a child of God. Thank you, God, when they said we weren't going to make it, but God Almighty is on our side, and if God be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. So I thank God from the rocking of my cradle to the moment that I'm living in right now that God is, he's a provider, he's a way maker, he's a trouble fixer, he's a God that is a buckler that will hold you all together. Thank you, God. And when I didn't know where to go, you showed me that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, God. When we had trouble in the home, you were the one that made a way out of no way. Thank you, God, for being there when nobody else was there. I thank you, God, that you came by and sought about your child. Thank you, God, for how you blessed our church one by one, name by name, need by need. He's been a God. I said, God's been a God that shows up and shows out. Even in the midst of a global pandemic, God still keeps the roof. God still keeps the bills paid. God still keeps the roof over our heads. God still keeps the shoes on our feet. And we thank God that he's healing our land. We thank God that he's touching, healing, and deliver. Somebody look at somebody and say, in spite of it all, God will do it. Won't he do it? Won't he work it out? Won't he turn the situation around? Won't he come through right on time? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And so, church, we need to continue to rejoice. We need to continue to pray without ceasing. We need to continue to give God the thanks that he deserves. We need to continue to be like that city that is set up on a hill. Even in this rough, tough time, we're still the church. We're still the ecclesia. We're still the called out. We're the ones that's supposed to shine light in this dark. That those that are feeble-minded, those that are weak, those that don't know the Lord for themselves will look and see us still praising God, still worshiping God, giving God the praise, still loving each other, still encouraging each other. And they'll look at us and say, how in the world can they do this in the midst of this trial? And we'll point them to Jesus. We'll point them to God. And in that 19th verse, we won't quench the Spirit, but we'll continue to point to them that the Holy Spirit of God will give you the strength, will sustain you, that you'll be able to make it through. That was Paul's letter to the church. Pastor Paul was encouraging them that they would be able to make it through, encouraging them to don't give up, Continue to do the things that you're doing. Father God, Church, Pastor Kason, encouraging you not to give up. Continuing to do the things, continue to do the things that will show you as the city that is set up on the hill, that you will shine light in darkness. Continue to love each other. Continue to support each other. Continue to encourage each other. The healing of our land is coming, but we can't give up too soon. We can't give up. We can't do the evil for evil. We can't get to a place where our frustration causes us to make bad decisions. But we will continue to gather and go through God's word. God will come through for us. Amen. He will come through for us. I want to encourage you today. Get that journal out. Can't do it, but once a week, put it on your phone. Just write down 20 things that you're thankful for. Thankful for your mother, your grandmother. Thankful for getting you through whatever you got through. Just write it down. And then thank God that he hasn't lost any power. And if he did it back then, he can do it again. Amen? And so we thank God for his word today. Thank God for you. Continue to pray for us. Continue to keep us lifted up in prayer. But I want you to understand that God heard our cry back in March. He said, if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray, and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, we pray, God, that you would hear from heaven, that you would forgive our sins, and that you would heal our life. And, oh, God, we thank you for the healing, the blessing that you have blessed us, and you sustained us for the majority of this year. We pray, God, that you will continue to sustain us for the rest of this year. Continue to bless the process of healing and the development of vaccine and delivering of vaccine and political unrest and our spiritual and religious unrest. God, we pray that you would be the God with the power of your spirit that would deliver us like no one else can. And this is what our prayer is, Church. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be unmovable. I want you to always abound in the work of the Lord. But especially toward the end of this year, I want you to remember in verse 18, in everything, give thanks. That's going to be the title of this sermon today, in everything, give thanks. That means that you all have to be thankful for the pain, the aches, and the pain. But in the midst of the aches and the pain, you can give God the thanks, if you know what I mean. In the midst of it, you can give him the praise that he allows you to continue in spite of the aches and the pains. Amen? In everything, give thanks. Amen? Amen. I know it's one of those messages that are bittersweet, but we got to continue to move on. We got to continue to be vigilant. We got to continue to be the children of the light. And we got to continue to set the example, because this is the will of God, even in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this storm, this trial. This is the will of God concerning us. In other words, this is our time. God has us in this place for such a time as this, to be able to show his faithfulness in his people. Amen? In everything, give thanks. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you again, God, for what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hearts have felt. God, we thank you for encouragement that you have given us through this book, this letter from the Apostle Paul, the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. God, we thank you that you have bought us and kept us all year long. And God, as we go into this holiday season, God, as we go into Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, God, we pray that you would help us to remain vigilant, that we would continue to be examples to those that are around us. Oh, God, that we would continue to be mindful of those that are weak, those that are feeble-minded, those that are in darkness, God, that we would be an example, that they would one day, God, choose you as Lord and Savior. Oh, God, help us not to render evil for evil, but help us to do the things that are pleasing in your sight, that you will get the glory. Father, help us when we get weary and we get tired and we get fatigued from COVID. Oh, God, that we would continue to remain vigilant with our masks, with our distancing, with our hand washing. Oh, God, when we long for the times of when the family can get together for Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays. Oh, God, help us to remain vigilant, that we would set the example. Oh, God, that as your healing comes and as your deliverance comes, God, oh, God, that we will be a people that will usher it in through the power of your Spirit. Continue to bless all of us. Continue to keep all of us. And now may your love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 Do yourself a favor. Call somebody. Let them know that you love them in Jesus' name. And let them know that in everything, you're going to give thanks. God bless you. Heaven ever smile upon you. Brother, we'll see you again on next Sunday. Have a wonderful, happy Sunday.